Markets, Truth About Markets with Max and Stacy on Resonance. Hello.
Well, Max, you're a bit of a rap star this week, apparently independent of anything to do with us other than your words and your performance. You've been turned into two viral rap hits this week.
Oh, yeah, that's funny, isn't it? The people turned a... what else is going on?
Well, one of them was from RT. Go check it out on RT Play. And it was Max rapping about financial terrorism at the University of Rotterdam event. It was really quite interesting. And I have quite a few interesting headlines on over at maxkaiser.com. You can go there as well. And one of them regards the you listening right now here in London. And that is from Bloomberg News. And it says, Brits raid on savings raises questions for Bank of England. And they do have a chart, saving is so last century. And it appears that the ratio of savings to income is hovering around a 50-year low. So if you see the chart, you can see basically the peak was during the Thatcher years and then collapsed. So they said it could reflect a fall in income or a rise in expenditure or a combination of the two. But then they put a positive spin on it and say, well, the Bank of England says that, in fact, it could be just because Brits are putting so much into their pension plans. They're diverting that from savings to pensions. What do you think is likely, Max?
Well, don't they include pensions and savings?
No, they don't. Not in this Bank of England data. It's savings accounts across the United Kingdom.
Well, the comeback from the central planners is that people put money in their house, and the house is a form of savings. Mm-hmm. So, but house prices are not really savings because it goes down, and it's a bubble. So when you have negative equity in your house and you can't sell it, and you're stuck, that's not a savings. Savings implies that you have a liquid asset that is you have available. So the savings is considered this is why they want to bring negative interest rates, because the idea of having savings is financial independence, and financial independence would mean political independence, and political independence would mean the possibility of people voting down the war machine. And, that's a threat to the people who organize that. Any kind of independence is wrong. Freedom of the press, of course, is coming under a renewed attack. This new global TTP deal will coordinate the Hollywood copyright laws, which is very bad for folks who want to be able to express themselves freely without paying a fee. And so that's kind of negative, but the savings is savings is similar to intelligence. People have outsourced their intelligence to Google, so they don't think they need to know anything. And people have outsourced their savings to their house prices, so they don't think they need to save anything. But both are very fragile. So Google goes down, and you've lost your connection to your own thoughts, or the illusion of having your own thoughts. And house prices collapse, and you've lost this idea that you have any kind of net worth. But the individual is being holographized. We are disintegrating. In that show Star Trek, where they have the transporter, and you see the Star Trek crew, they're digitized and vaporized and transported it to another place. Well, we live in an era where we're being digitized and vaporized, but we're not going anywhere. We're just being vaporized.
Well, this is interesting too, because you mentioned that everybody here puts their money into the house as a way to save for their pension, and I guess flip it to somebody else who will pay basically their pension or to rent it out. But here's a headline from the Telegraph this week. The real ticking time bomb for the Tories is home ownership. Now, nowhere in the world that I've ever been have I seen such notion that home ownership is a way to wealth, that what in economics would normally be a depreciating asset with a high cost and involved in maintaining it, is that nowhere else have I seen this notion pushed as hard since Thatcher. You know, everything is about home ownership. Well, in fact, it's at the lowest levels in the past few decades. Apparently, there's not much that the French do better, the Tory graph claims, than us these days when it comes to economics. Housing is the glaring, humiliating exception. For the first time in a generation, France's home ownership rate has overtaken Britain's. It is shocking that just 63.3% of English households now own their own home, down from 70.9% in 2003, and back to levels last seen three decades ago. In stark contrast, home ownership has been shooting up in France, rising from 60.5% in 2007 to 64.3% in 2013. So, of course, this coincides in Britain with a collapse in home building. So basically what they're trying to do is restrict access to this Ponzi scheme, whereas in France they're actually building huge amounts of homes. So they mention that remarkably 354,700 new homes were built in France last year, and there's about equal population size, compared with just 140,880 across the UK, a pathetically inadequate number, barely half of that required. The French were actually bitterly disappointed with their own performance. Their recent average has been around 400,000 homes a year. So if you're saying you want a home ownership society, what you try to do is build homes enough for all the people that want a home for the demand. But what they're doing here is actually what it is. It's not a home ownership. It's actually a home disownership society, and that you're trying to restrict access and artificially to increase the price.
Mm. Well, France has a much more diversified economy, so people are happy to live anywhere in France if they're interested in manufacturing or farming. You know, farming and agriculture are still quite huge in France. And they have a finance sector as well. But in the UK, it's really only one sector, the finance sector. And so you have to be in London. So once you leave London, the whole thing falls apart. The other thing is that hereditary laws are different in France, so people, you have to pass your property down to your siblings. You can't dump it. So the houses stay within the families. Whereas in the UK, people can dump their house. So I would say the volume of home ownership in the UK is probably the turnover is a lot higher than in France. So France would have the same property in the same family for 150 years. You don't see that so much in the UK anymore because of the way the laws affecting hereditary and the estate laws are very different. So although the home ownership is higher in France, I doubt the volume of transactions is anywhere near the volume of transactions. Because here in the UK, the same home, you know, you churn it. You know, they buy it and they flip it before it's even built, which you don't have that really in France.
So here's another interesting story. I think that actually, you know, the volume is a lot lower, sure, in Paris, but it is an interesting story to... especially because it is the notion of you owning a home is supposed to be all you strive for. So the fact that it's actually being pulled out from under you is interesting as well. A former manager at ICAP, the world's largest interdealer broker, and a former trader at U.S. Bank J.P. Morgan plotted to corrupt a new recruit as part of an alleged scam to rig global interest rates, a prosecutor told London's second LIBOR trial on Thursday. So this is right in Resonance 104.4 FM's backyard. There was a case being tried at the Southwark Crown Court. And in a recorded telephone conversation dated August 20th, 2007, former JP Morgan trader Stuart Wiley told the former ICAP manager Danny Wilkinson that the bank had placed an employee responsible for LIBOR rates, whom he described as so by the book, referred to. Basically, what they did is they got somebody fired who wasn't allowing them to cheat. And then they installed somebody who would allow them to cheat on the desk that does the LIBOR. So, and they said how they did it is, do you wander over, give him the odd Mars bar, and say, you know, end of the year, we'll sort you out. This is something that you, Max Kaiser, have often talked about in terms of when you were banking about the end of the year for the compliance officer. They would always get the big bonus or the tips from all the brokers. So it sounds like just throw this guy a Mars bar and at the end of the year, give him a cut of your ill-gotten gains, and everything would be hush-hush and whatever.
Yeah. Well, this market rigging is it's a pandemic, isn't it? Because you have market rigging in the finance markets, whether it's LIBOR, Forex, energy, gold. And you can go down every single market. There's some heavy component of rigging, high-frequency trading. And then, of course, you have the emission scandal from Volkswagen. That's a market rigging scandal. You change the algorithm to change the results, and then based on the changed results, you have a different perception upon which you build a different business model and a different political reality and different metrics to build society, not based on what you see and hear from your five senses, but based on an interpretation of an algorithmic holographic representation of reality. In the drug business, we see the same thing, a telephone business. So in the social media business, where algorithms that tell people that certain people, you know, number of clicks per month, number of views, ad revenues are generated in this way, and estimates and government statistics are also rigged. And so you have basically this perception that people have a consensus reality that drives their decisions, and these decisions end up favoring things like prisons, guns, war. And so rigging is, you know, across the whole spectrum. I guess as the world's become financialized, the financialized rigging tricks have migrated over to other industries, except for Hollywood, of course. Hollywood that's the only industry that has protection, has laws set up to protect it. It's against the law to trade a box office futures contract. That's the only industry I'm aware of that's completely has government protection against the rigging, which is kind of interesting because by definition, it's already in the fantasy business. So the fantasy business is protected, but all the other businesses that are supposed to be based on reality are open to complete fantasy.
Speaking of the Volkswagen scandal, I saw that one of the executives, senior executives from Volkswagen, was being questioned in the Senate or Congress or something. I think the Senate. And he basically said that the executives had no idea about this. The CEO of U.S. Volkswagen didn't even learn it until a few Fridays ago when it broke in the news. And they had nothing to do with it. And they don't know why these software engineers suddenly decided to do this. They had no idea why there was a conspiracy of the software engineers to help them, the corporation.
Right. So all the walls of non-accountability that we see in the banking industry are replicated in the car industry, phone industry, pharmaceutical industry. So this chain of non-accountability, plausible deniability. You remember that phrase with Ollie North was explaining how he was not responsible and also simultaneously saying he was responsibility because he said he had plausible deniability. So for shareholders, the message is, we know what we're doing at the top, so buy our stock. But for lawmakers, we don't know what we're doing at the top, so don't prosecute. So you get to put those two messages out simultaneously for two different constituents. The shareholders who want you to be irresponsible and, you know, I mean, this is a case of eco-holocaust, obviously, with millions now going to be dead from gassing. Thank you, Volkswagen. And then you've got shareholders who are love to see the action.
Well, here's another trickle down of fraud and thievery, really. This is a headline that reminded me of the way the governments and corporations, with all their algorithms and all your data online, can target every single, they know to a penny how much they can steal from you. And here is a headline from the UK independent newspaper, "Sophisticated gangs using drones to target church roofs for their lead." The resurgence of thefts has seen more than 200 churches fall victim to lead strippers. So stealing lead from church roofs has become such a lucrative operation that gangs of organized criminals are believed to be using drones and Google Earth to survey targets before carrying out surgical raids to remove tons of metal worth tens of thousands of pounds. So 200 churches over a two-month period this summer have been stripped. Some churches warn they face closure because their insurance cover is limited and they are unable to meet the cost of the repairs. So, of course, Henry VIII did this too to the churches across the UK. This is what's left is the lead. All the gold has already been stolen and the silver stolen by the head of the Church of England, or the creator of the Church of England, long ago. But now they still have lead left, and now these thieves are targeting that. So it's going to be, like you were talking about, that fantasy versus reality. It's too expensive to be in the real world because it's just going to get taken from you. So at least if your fantasy goods get taken from you, you might be able to play the game again and get those fantasy goods back.
Well, I blame transubstantiation, the concept as developed by the Papal Congress 500 or 600 years ago, saying that the Eucharist represented the actual bones of Christ and that the wine was the actual blood of Christ. Had they stuck with the original program as presented by Jesus, who was adamant that love is all you need, don't get hung up in material objects, then the church wouldn't have this problem. But since they went down the road of substantiation, then lead apparently has some value to Christians, when according to Christ, it has no value. But you know, they've gone down this path, and now they're reaping the whirlwind. But after all the lead is gone, they'll come for the rocks, and then all the rocks will be gone, and they'll come for the dirt, and then all the dirt will be gone, and they'll come for the void, and then when the void is all gone, we will have arrived at our final destiny, complete oneness with Parliament Funkadelic.
Yeah, they'll come for the Stonehenge rocks. I'm surprised nobody's done off of those and sold them for, like, you know, the cost of a pint of beer or two. And I'm surprised we haven't seen those on eBay yet. And then there's that Superhenge. But, I mean, some of the operations here are quite huge. It seems that remarkable that nobody saw anything. Because at one church, thieves cut through two padlocked farm gates, extensively chopped down a hedge, and laid down boards to reach the nave, which was completely stripped of lead. So these are big operations. And
according to Mark Carney at the Bank of England, Britain is facing a crisis of deflation. So it's interesting that if that's true, why would you want to steal lead? Unless somebody's wrong here, either there's the purchasing power deflation, meaning that the value of the British pound is sinking in real terms, and so why not steal lead so I can buy a loaf of bread? Or Mark Carney is lying, and in fact, the problem is not deflation devoid of the second part of the equation, purchasing power deflation. And he's just saying that to help bail out his buddies and to allow Lloyds Bank to sell stock to people who already own Lloyds Bank stock. So they're going to buy it again from the government because they're so freaking clever, these British people. They already own Lloyds Bank stock, so they're going to buy it again from the government. Bravo!
Yeah, well, right now it's owned by the entire population, so what they want to do is give it to the people who have property against which they can extract, or, they have peasants living in there extracting rent from them. Everything is an equivalent of what these thieves are doing across the country, stealing lead from the roofs of churches. Is, you have the same sort of policy of extracting wealth everywhere you look. There's a toll booth. There's some guy who wants to steal your lead.
The government stole Lloyd's Bank, and now they're selling it for scrap, and people are stealing lead from churches and selling it for scrap. So there's a huge fire sale going on across the economy, and homeless shelters are up, and food banks are up, and wages in real terms are down. So and Jeremy Corbyn, who questions this, is called by the prime minister a terrorist, which is such a rank, hypocritical contemptuous spewing I don't know. In what better way could you define tyranny? I would struggle to find a more succinct definition of tyranny than the leader of a country calling the opposition a terrorist. That's tyranny. And of course, in America, there's laws against it. There's no laws against it as such in this country, of course.
Well, America's, the president has fast-tracked the TPP, which is a Trans-Pacific Partnership. TTIP is next, I guess, but they got Australia, Japan, Malaysia, Indonesia, Singapore, all those Pacific nations to sign up to TPP. They need Congress and the Senate to approve it. I think they're going to have a few hours to look at the data of the text of the actual treaty, which will then become law. Now, Matt Drudge says these sort of deals are going to basically destroy independent media, and that we're all becoming ghetto dwellers on the internet. We're in Twitter's ghetto or Facebook's ghetto.
The casino gulag. Yeah, well, Matt Drudge is right. So any link, if you link to a story and you say, for example, there's a story about TPP, and you link to it with a comment like, wow, these guys are really doing something bad here. Well, publication that has that link sues you under Digital Millennium Copyright Act, which has now gone global, and which they equate to some kind of act of terrorism, and you can go to jail. And we've seen this extremism on the parts of the copyright industry that have thrown people like Weave, who simply linked to a link about something and ended up being, facing 30 years in jail, or other such cases where, but yeah, Matt Drudge's point is I think he sees the writing on the wall. I think he's getting ready to retire. He's been in the big game for 20 years. He's been able to be very successful, but I think it's, he sees it now where the internet that he was part of and I was part of in the early 90s was the birth of independence in a big way we hadn't seen since the 60s, so I think he's saying that era is over, and speech, free speech, independent speech, is being shut down. I guess sites like Alex Jones would also come under some heavy attack. As you were saying, the cost of Netflix is now, they raised it by 10%. And so this is the trend, is that Hollywood wants to turn the internet into cable TV. So if you want anything but extremely slow access to the internet, you have to pay a pretty high monthly charge. All content is paid for. No original content is allowed. If you go out and try to create an original content like we're doing here, if we reference something, a word or a phrase or a link or a headline, this will be shut down immediately because we are violating somebody's copyright law somewhere under the new TPP, which is a global copyright Gestapo. And so all independent voices will be shut down. This is also a problem with Bitcoin, because Bitcoin is being challenged on the patent front. And I wrote about this on Huffington Post 2 or 3 years ago, that I saw that the biggest risk going forward would be patent challenges. And I think it'll survive, but you see that that's the way they're setting up the battle. And because they, I think Drudge is, I think he's onto something there. I don't think Drudge will be around in 5 years. The site might be there, but I think he's going to kind of get ready to retire now.
Well, he says a Supreme Court justice told him that he's done for, like that copyright will come for him, even linking headlines. And what what Drudge does is, all he does is put headlines up. But, you know, when I worked in Hollywood, that's basically what you do. How you tell a story is you juxtapose two images. And so he juxtaposes headlines, which is what Kaiser Report does too. So you say one headline, and then you do another headline.
Juxtaposition of images and thoughts is called thinking.
Yes.
Okay, so, and thinking is being outlawed, you know, because it's only available on Google. People access their thoughts via Google. They don't access their own minds for thoughts. And so that's the end of independent thought.
Well, I had a dream the other night, and then in the morning when I was thinking about the dream, I realized that your future that you've presented in the past could be coming true, because I had a dream, and it was very vivid, that the Rolling Stones played a concert in our living room, and I watched it, and then I realized in the morning when I was making my coffee that, my God, you know, in the future, I could imagine I might be charged for that, because I got to see a Rolling Stones concert for free. You know, Mick Jagger and Keith Richards were in my living room, said hi to them. Like, that sort of access, backstage access, is in the real world very expensive. But I got it for free in my dream. So I imagine they might one day come after me to collect the, you know, $500 or $1,000 that would have been, you know, worth.
Yeah. Well, they have very sophisticated technology now. I mean, that's the telekinesis, the idea of moving inanimate objects with your mind seemed pretty remote just a few years ago, but people with prosthetic limbs now that are able to be moved by brain waves, which is now a pretty common technology, this is telekinesis. So if you're able to read brain activity to that granularity, and they're mapping the brain now, which is really the only thing left in the universe that hasn't been explored. Maybe the bottom of the deepest oceans have yet to be explored, but the human brain is still a galaxy, a whole universe of unknown unknowns. But as they penetrate more deeply, the idea of reading thoughts is becoming more commonplace. And so, yes, if you think about the Rolling Stones and you play the music in your head to yourself, that's going to be a copyright violation, and you'll be charged. A charge will show up on your monthly bill. And if you can't pay, of course, you can borrow from the payday lending shop or the thought day lending shop at extortionary rates with inside the prison gulag. So people will live in the prison gulag, and they to pay their... Oh, goodbye. Bye, y'all.
That is a nice ramp, but we've got to go. Thanks a lot. That's it for Resonance 104.4 FM. Truth About Marcus, Max and Stacey.
Bye, y'all.